perfect world. There ain't no perfect world anyway. Ain't no living in a perfect world. But we'll keep on dreaming of living in a perfect world.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Be sure to listen to the car salesman. He's your friend and he's there to help.
Didn't crawl out from under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meathead.
Wow. Hillary Clinton's asking us for money. Will her string of mistakes never end?
The hits keep on coming, but she'll never top Benghazi. That's her stairway to heaven.
Yeah, it's the kind of screw-ups that happen when you spend all your free time deleting emails.
Good morning and welcome in to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. Glad to have you along today. However you may happen to be along, whether you're listening in on the podcast, as I'm finding out people are doing from coast to coast, and possibly you are tuned in to the Facebook Live version of the program, which hits every weekday morning at 8 o'clock Central Time. Well, let's just say that it happens every weekday morning I'm here because I can't be here every morning, but I try to be here every morning. And that kind of leads me into, in case you missed yesterday, I'll be out of pocket again. Just took a little break for the holidays because I knew, hey, you know, you got better things to do. You got family, friends, the holidays, things happening. So you go take care of that. So we'll all just take a break together, but I've got knee replacement surgery coming up next week, and I'll be out of pocket after that for a few days to who knows how long. It just depends on how recovery goes, but just be aware of that. But in between now and then, we're back together again for a few more days, and let's have some fun with it. How about that? And by the way, again, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. You could be listening on the podcast. You could be listening to the Facebook Live. It doesn't matter to me. You could be just stumbling across it on Facebook and seeing the repeat of the live show. I try to get that posted every day if I can. And I just appreciate you being there. Thanks a lot. And I would appreciate it if you'd let me know you're there. Stop by the Facebook page, The Mark and Mac Show, or The Daily Perspective, either one. And drop me a note and let me know you've joined in the fun, and you're participating in the show in some way, whether you're by listening or passing it along or whatever. Sorry, I'm a little distracted here. I just saw something pop up and I was trying to see if it was something that was pertinent that I could share with you. And no, of course not. Well, looking today at various things, Mitt Romney. I guess the only way you can put it is that Mitt Romney has really stepped in it. He has decided to take up the mantle of Jeff Flake and the late John McCain and be the vocal opposition to Donald Trump in the Republican Party. And it makes me very suspicious. We'll look at that in just a little while and what other people have had to say about that. The representative who believed that the island of Guam was going to flip over if we put too many more people on it is back in the news. Yep, Representative Hank Johnson. He has said some really bizarre and horrifying more remarks about you if you're a Trump supporter. What else have we got here? I've had this, it's been in the stack for days, and I've shared it on social media about Chris Pratt, you know, Star-Lord from the Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's been in the latest revisions, the releases of the Jurassic Park movies, Jurassic World movies, and he's found his little niche, and he's enjoying his moment in the spotlight, so to speak. He's stepped out into the sunshine, and a lot of people love him. Well, TV Guide has said, well, that's this Chris Pratt guy. His private life is problematic. Well, something else is problematic. If you're a fan of the old Seinfeld TV show, millennials are now offended by Seinfeld. What else is new? They're offended by everything, right? And starting things off on a sad note, a guy named Daryl Dragon. He was the guy who wore the hat on stage as he performed and was known as the captain of the Captain and Tennille, has passed away. He was 76 years old. He passed away yesterday of renal failure at a hospice in Prescott, Arizona, according to spokesman Harlan Ball. Tony Tennille, his ex-wife and longtime musical partner, was by his side. Tennille said in a statement, "He was a brilliant musician with many friends who loved him greatly. I was at my most creative in my life when I was with him." Daryl Dragon was born August 27th of 1942 in Los Angeles, California. He came from a musical family. His dad, Carmen, won an Academy Award as a composer and conductor. His mother, Eloise, a singer who worked on Bing Crosby recordings, among others. In 67, Dragon, who was a classically trained musician, started playing keyboard for the Beach Boys. And that led him to being given the nickname Captain by lead singer Mike Love, because he had an affinity for wearing a captain's hat while he was performing. Well, 4 years later, Dragon met Tony Tennille. They began singing soon, performing together. And Tennille was singing. Dragon was on keyboards. He also later served as the producer for their group, which they called the Captain and Tennille. They went on to top the 70s music charts with hits including Muskrat Love. Yeah, believe it or not, if you're not familiar with it, there was a song. Look it up. Muskrat Love. Another one called Shop Around. And the one that everybody knows them for, Love Will Keep Us Together. It catapulted the couple to fame with their breakthrough coming in 1975 when they covered this. It was a Neil Sedaka Howard Greenfield song. And Sedaka had actually recorded the song back in 73, just a couple of years before. He released it as a single in Europe. The Captain and Tennille version actually hit the top of the charts, and they acknowledged Neil Sedaka's authorship by singing Sedaka's Back at the very end of the song. And they won a Grammy for Record of the Year. They followed with a mix of cover tunes like Muskrat Love, Shop Around, original songs including Tony Tennille's Do That To Me One More Time that hit number one in 1980. And they briefly starred in their own TV variety show. I don't know if you remember that, but they did have a variety show. They got divorced in 2014 after being married for nearly 40 years, but they did remain close, and Tennille moved back to Arizona to help to take care of him. He's survived by his older brother, Doug Dragon, two nieces, Kelly Arbut and Renee Hand. And it's kind of sad for those of us who enjoyed bopping our heads to the music in the 70s and enjoying the hits of Tony Tennille and the Captain. And that song, Do That To Me One More Time, there was a lot of speculation and raised eyebrows. I remember people talking about, well, wait a minute, do that. What is she? That's dirty. Stop that. And I saw her on a chat show, and she was asked, okay, all right, tell us the truth. What is that about? Do That To Me One More Time. And she said, it was about a kiss. Do That To Me One More Time. But sad news, the Captain has passed away. Sad to see that happen. In other sad news, Mitt Romney, this guy who went crawling to Donald Trump looking for his endorsement so he could win his bid to become the senator from Utah, has been sharpening his blade and has stabbed Donald Trump in the back. And I think it's a terrible thing. Now, President Trump has fired back at Mitt Romney. I think he should have. In an op-ed for the Washington Post, Romney wrote Trump's, quote, conduct over the past 2 years, particularly his actions this month, is evidence that the president has not risen to the mantle of the office. Now, this is a very familiar attitude, a very familiar position, if you've been paying attention, that the traditional entrenched Republicans, the only way that I can think of these people is that they are the religious elite of the Republican Party, the ones who have bowed almost religiously to the party itself. This is the attitude that you find common among them. Well, he's just not worthy of the mantle of the office. He is beneath this high calling and should not be there. And that's the way these people look at it. And Democrats will say the same thing, although they have placed womanizers and abusers and adulterers in the Oval Office time and time again. They have placed people with very, I almost said questionable morals, but they've put people in office with zero morals. And they want to be, these people want to be the morally superior ones. It just amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. Romney explains it's not that Trump's policies are bad, it's his character. Here's what he said in part in the article. To a great degree, a presidency shapes the public character of the nation. A president should unite us and inspire us to follow our better angels. A president should demonstrate the essential qualities of honesty and integrity and elevate the national discourse with comity and mutual respect. As a nation, we have been blessed with presidents who have called on the greatness of the American spirit. With a nation so divided, resentful, and angry, presidential leadership in qualities of character is indispensable. And it is in this province where the incumbent's shortfall has been most glaring. Now, that is a very interesting take, considering that almost 100% of the division is coming from the left. Almost 100% of everything he describes as being problematic is coming from the Democrat Party and the rhinos in the Republican Party. It's all coming from them. Now, I will admit, Trump is good at playing the game. He knows how to push the buttons. But if you'll notice, he's pushing buttons of the people on the left, and he's making them reactive. They are reacting to him and his jabs in social media. And when he gets interviews on the talking head shows, well, you know, he makes his appearances in the news from time to time, and he'll say certain things that he knows are going to set these people off. And he does it intentionally, because he knows he can own the news media, because whenever he can do something that they can interpret as being sensational in any way, if they can make it sensational and gasp worthy of clutching pearls, they'll do it. And when they jump that way, he owns them. He's been playing them that way since the campaign. And bless their hearts, even though they have admitted this is happening, they still fall for it. They're like Charlie Brown with Lucy in the football, and it happens again and again and again. Romney says that to compound the problem, there's this fact that the world is looking to America for leadership on various issues, a responsibility Romney believes Trump has failed to take seriously. Quote, Trump's words and actions have caused dismay around the world. In a 2016 Pew Research Center poll, 84% of the people in Germany, Britain, France, Canada, and Sweden believe the American president would do the right thing in world affairs. 1 year later, that number had fallen to 16%. Can we dissect the reason why they think that? They think that because the leftist American press is lying about what's happening in our country with our president. They are not telling the entire story about the issues and the stories of the day concerning him. And the European press, which is decidedly leftist, is parroting what's going on. And leftist politicians are being quoted, European politicians are being quoted in the European press. So what they're getting is a distorted image of what's actually happening here in America. And I know we have at least one listener in the UK, and I forget what you called it. You used a certain term to describe the press there, the media there, and now I don't remember what that term was, and I apologize for that. But at any rate, it was something like, you know, they just repeat things. They're not really telling us the truth. They're just repeating what they're told to say. And that's what's happening. It's just really ridiculous. Later in the op-ed, Romney declared the world needs American leadership, But to reassume our leadership in world politics, we must repair failings in our politics at home. You know, Romney's a progressive. He always has been. He instituted single-payer health care in his state. He has done some things which you and I would definitely disagree with. And we stood behind him when he campaigned against Obama because he was campaigning against Obama. But that was it. And now he comes out against Donald Trump. It smells like he's positioning himself for a political run against Trump at some point, or to be the candidate when a second term of the Trump presidency ends. It's all very suspicious, and it smells really, really bad. Listening to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here with you. Glad you're along for the ride today. Thanks for being there. So have you subscribed to the newsletter yet? Yeah, it's this little thing called The Daily Perspective Newsletter. And what it gets you every single day is the show notes. And I know you're thinking, ah, come on, you post those online anyway, don't you? Well, not all of them. Because the stack that I have here in front of me is a lot deeper than I'll get to today. But people who subscribe to the newsletter get everything I was thinking about talking about if I have the time. So you get more stuff than you actually hear. And you get more stuff than I share on social media. And actually, to be honest with you, I'm thinking about stopping the social media sharing of that anyway. Because, come on, why repeat the thing? Just subscribe to the newsletter, get the daily show notes. Plus, from time to time, something will start bubbling in my brain. I'll start typing, and the next thing you know, hey, there's something coming to your inbox. So get subscribed today. Go to the Facebook page for the Mark and Mac Show or for the Daily Perspective and click the sign-up link that I set up on both of those pages. Or you can go to markandmacshow.com. There's a place to sign up there as well. The Daily Perspective newsletter. Get signed up today and join the growing family of people who are becoming subscribers of the Daily Perspective newsletter. It's getting the Daily Perspective in your inbox. So, wait a minute. That's not right. Stop that. That's crazy, man. I'm clicking buttons and things are happening. Okay, so we were talking about Mitt Romney. Bless his heart. I think those three words will have to be, bless his heart or God love him. Those three words will have to come after Mitt Romney's name from now on. Because Romney's now just basically a traitor. He's let us know exactly where he stands and what he is. He's decided he's going to take political advantage of a situation, really the general public ignorance of things, and he's going to stand against Donald Trump. He believes that is his best position to be in for his opportunity for progressing in his political ambitions. And I that's the only thing it can be, is political ambition. It can't be nobility, because face it, these people who go into politics, they don't go into it for noble reasons. They just don't. Don't believe it. Trust me. Well, Senator Rand Paul, who we talked about yesterday in his list of stupid things that happened in 2018. Well, yesterday he slammed Senator-elect Mitt Romney for harshly criticizing President Trump's character. He said the attack was bad for the Republican Party. And he's right. He said it's a big mistake, and it really is getting off on the wrong foot for the senator from Utah. Mr. Romney, the 2012 Republican presidential nominee who will be sworn in as a new senator from Utah, assailed Mr. Trump in an op-ed in the Washington Post. We just talked about that. He wrote about Mr. Trump's conduct and actions in world affairs, and he's defined his presidency down. Well, Mr. Paul called it a self-service. He's right about that. It's a self-service and disrespectful way to begin one service in the Senate. Quote, I just don't think the president deserves new senators coming in attacking his character. He told reporters this in a conference call yesterday. He also noted that he'd opposed Mr. Trump on policy more than any of his fellow Republican senators, but never attacked the president's character. He predicted the backlash against Mr. Romney will grow, noting that many Senate Republicans won their 2018 election with help from Mr. Trump, including Romney. He said the op-ed hurt Mr. Romney within the GOP, despite praise for him among Democrats and anti-Trump Republicans. That included encouragement for Mr. Romney to challenge Mr. Trump in 2020. Rand Paul says, I don't think there's an appetite for a Romney run in the Republican Party. Well, of course the Democrats and the anti-Trumpers loved him for doing it. Because this is what this is their entire lives. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they're consumed. I mean consumed with hatred for Donald Trump. It's like they can't think of anything else. Their entire lives are consumed with finding ways to demean the man, to condemn the man, to criticize the guy. You've no doubt got friends on social media who do the same thing. It seems like every day amongst their social media posts, there's some inane meme that has no link to reality, condemning the president for something, ridiculing him for something that has no connection to reality, accusing him of things that have no connection to reality. Yet, this is their everyday thing. They're consumed with hatred and animosity and a desire for some sort of weird revenge because the person they wanted to be president didn't win. And that's kind of what it boils down to when you really face the facts. They were all in on Hillary Clinton. They were all in on the big lie. They had made such a huge investment. This is something I've referred to before about the investment. They've made this huge investment in the lie that was the Clinton campaign and the inevitable Hillary Clinton presidency. That investment was so huge that they now are lashing out in anger at the person who proved they were wrong. We see it every time we turn on the news. We see them pulling in their pundits, their panels of experts. I'm air quoting, experts. And they're all talking about the inadequacies of Donald Trump. They're talking about how he is so wrong about all of these things. But the thing is, he keeps succeeding. He keeps winning. He keeps fulfilling his campaign promises. He keeps doing what he has said he will do. And it's obvious to me, and I've said this many times, both on the air, on the radio show, and here, I've said, this proves to me, his presidency proves to me, that he read these guys a long time ago, knew they were lightweights, and knew he could defeat them, and then run roughshod all over them for as long as he was in office. He's known this for a long time, and now he's doing it. This is a guy who in New York City, in that environment, has been successful. And honestly, was loved by the left. I wish I had saved it now, but early this morning, sitting in the dark with my iPad, scrolling through things while I'm trying to wake up, waiting for the first cup of coffee to kick in, I ran across this compilation of Donald Trump on television shows and in bit parts in movies, every one of them showing how much he was loved and he was adored by the left. And how he was sought out, he played along, he enjoyed his time with them, he played the game with them, and they all enjoyed having him around until he stood against their idol, the one they believed wholeheartedly was due the presidency. It was owed to her. That seems to be the general attitude. And then he was Satan embodied. He was Hitler reincarnated. And you keep referring, you keep seeing them referring to him as literally Hitler. The man's literally Hitler. No, come on, people, grow up. He's just doing things he's promised to do. He won the election based on those promises, and he's fulfilling them unlike every other president in your lifetime and in your memory. He's actually fulfilling his campaign promises. He's doing what he said he was going to do. And people pretend to be shocked. This is what he ran on. And they hate him for it. They hate him because he came through and won when the one that they had invested all of that faith in didn't win. They were so invested in the big lie. Even on election night, I don't know if you recall seeing, I mean, you just do a little search on YouTube and you'll find the videos of all of the pundits on the news talking about how she had a 98% lock on the presidency. And then watch their demeanor as the evening progresses. And it's more and more obvious that Hillary Clinton is a loser. That nobody wants that woman to be president. And then after she won, they argued, yeah, but the popular vote. The United States doesn't have a popular vote. We have an electoral college to protect us from the manipulations of politicians like Hillary Clinton and her team that tried to take her to the top. But we've seen how disappointed they were. And it's still happening today. And Mitt Romney is hoping to cash in on that. And he is sorely mistaken. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. It is a wet, wet, wet week here in the state of Alabama. And I have to give a nod to Denise, our friend Denise Whitley, who posted she shared a meme. It's of someone submerged in a swamp with just their hands above the water and two thumbs up. And it says, in case you're wondering, we're okay in Alabama. It has been raining so much. Our dog won't go out. I mean, it doesn't even have to be raining. She just looks out at the yard and says, no, it's too wet. She won't even go out. It has been raining so much. Your trees are, the ground is saturated. Trees are falling down. It's just nuts here. I expect to see a big boat with a bunch of animals on it pass by anytime now. It's just that crazy. It's that crazy. Oh, my gosh. Ah, man, oh, man, oh, man. Mitt Romney is a disappointment. He was a disappointment back then. You know, I remember watching the debates between Mitt and Obama and thinking he actually looked like he was going to pull it off. He actually was making a positive impression. He came across in a way that I thought was positive. I actually, and others disagree with me, and I get that. That's fine. But I thought he was doing a decent job until Candy Crowley sided with Barack Obama and wouldn't let Mitt Romney substantiate what he was talking about. And so basically, even then, CNN was stacking the debates. So I thought he actually had a chance until then, and it felt, you know, you get that feeling, you just get that, at least I do, I get that gut feeling that the tide is starting to flow a certain direction, and people are having a positive attitude about a certain thing, and it looks like things are leaning a certain way, and then Hurricane or Superstorm Sandy hit. And the next thing you know, the news media forgot about Mitt Romney as a candidate, and they spent all their time with cameras looking for Barack Obama because it was an opportunity for him to look presidential. And the next thing you know, Romney starts dropping in the opinion polls again, and things don't look good for him. It was a bizarre situation. He was a victim, I think, of media bias, and as well as the public not being happy with the fact that he was the candidate. Well, at least it wasn't John McCain, you know. I think that was the general attitude at the time was, well, could be worse, could be John McCain. And I kind of felt that way myself. Well, you know, could be worse, could have been McCain again. But now he has decided he's going to ride the anti-Trump wave. Mitt Romney, God love him. Bless his heart. You know, when we're dealing with politicians, we're not dealing many times with the sharpest knives in the drawer, which is why I said what I said about Trump assessing the situation a while ago. I think he looked the situation over and realized, you know, I've been in business for a long time and I've dealt with weasels with a lot more on the ball than these guys. I can beat these guys. I can win and I can continue to win and I can get done what I promised to get done because these guys are playing games. He's dealt with the mob. He's dealt with all this stuff in New York to get things done. Dealing with a bunch of politicians who just show up for when the work when the cameras are there. Yeah, these guys are a piece of cake. I think that's really what he was thinking. And when you think about the kind of people, the caliber of the people he's dealing with in Washington, D.C., you know that's true. Come on. Bernie Sanders? Somebody who actually believes socialism is a viable form of government after it being proved otherwise time and time and time and time again? Hello, Venezuela. Oh, my gosh. It just amazes me. And Hank Johnson, Representative Hank Johnson, you remember him. He's a Democrat from Georgia. You remember he once thought the island of Guam was going to tip over. You remember that? I wish I had the clip here, but I don't. He made some disturbing comments about Trump supporters, about you, on Tuesday. He was speaking at Friendship Baptist Church in Atlanta, where he also repeatedly compared the president to Adolf Hitler. Quote, Americans elected an authoritarian, an anti-immigrant, racist strongman to the nation's highest office. These are his words. Donald Trump and his Make America Great Again followers who wanted to return America back to a time where white men and white privilege were unchallenged and where minorities and women were in their place. These are the words of Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia. Donald Trump supporters are older, less educated, less prosperous, and they're dying early. Their lifespans are decreasing. Many are dying from alcoholism, drug overdoses, liver disease, or simply broken heart caused by economic despair. This is an elected representative from the state of Georgia saying this in a church service. This is in a church service. Friendship Baptist Church in Atlanta. Will anyone, I mean anyone, from the Freedom from Religion Foundation petition this church for allowing this man to campaign from their pulpit? Of course not. He goes on to say, charismatic and a good public speaker, deceptive and cunning, Adolf Hitler rose to power to lead Germany in 1932 after democratic elections. He rode a wave of nationalism and anti-Semitism to power. Replace anti-Semitism with all Latinos crossing our borders are rapists, drug dealers, and murderers. Does that sound familiar? Now I have to step in here and say, that is not what Donald Trump said. He said he knows there are good people coming across too. They're good people who are just looking for a better life. But among them are rapists, drug dealers, and murderers. And you and I see the news reports one recently in our home state here in Alabama. We see the reports of rape, drug dealing, murder. We see the MS-13 members. We see these people coming across our border, living in the shadows until finally they cross the line and are caught by law enforcement, but it's too late. We see that happening. But he's saying that's everyone. He's saying that Donald Trump said that's all Latinos. That is a bald-faced lie. This man is telling lies for political advancement in the pulpit of a church in Atlanta, Georgia. Where is the Freedom From Religion Foundation? Come on, Freedom From Religion Foundation, where are you? Why aren't you shutting this church down for mixing politics and religion? Why aren't you? Because it doesn't go against the grain of your personal agenda, does it? He goes on to say, much like how Hitler took over the Nazi Party, Trump has taken over the Republican Party. Hitler was accepting of violence toward the achievement of political objectives. Trump encouraged violence against protesters at his rallies, and his messaging about Charlottesville, where that there were bad people on both sides, sent a powerful message of approval to the far-right racists in America. Well, I can't go any further without saying this. The violence at the Trump rallies was instigated by the protesters, not by Trump. The violence at Trump rallies happened outside the doors as groups, anti-Trump groups, got in the faces of Trump supporters and screamed and yelled and instigated violence. That's where the lion's share of the violence was happening. But the media focused on the rare event. When Trump would say something like, go ahead, haul him out of here. Happened in Birmingham. And Charlottesville. Trump told the truth. There were people behaving badly on both sides of that. But leftists can't have that because they can't be blamed for anything they do. It all has to be the fault of the other party. So because Trump told the truth and said, yeah, there were bad apples on both sides of that, he's evil. He's sending a powerful message of approval to far-right racists in America by telling the truth that the people on the far-right side and the people on the left side were both behaving badly in Charlottesville. And they were. He goes on to say, Americans, particularly black Americans, can't afford to make that same mistake about the harm that could be done by a man named Hitler or a man named Trump. Once again, this man, Congressman Hank Johnson, U.S. Representative, Georgia's 4th District, stood in the pulpit of a church, Friendship Baptist Church, in Atlanta, Georgia, and told lies for political gain. In the pulpit of a big church in Atlanta, Georgia, I might add. And I'll ask again, where's the Freedom From Religion Foundation? Why is this mix of religion and politics acceptable to you? If this had happened with a white candidate in a white church, the lawsuit would already be filed as we speak. But because Hank Johnson is a black American in a black church, and he's a leftist, you'll let it pass. This is The Daily Perspective. More in just a moment. This is the Daily Perspective. Taking a look at life, the universe, and the absurdity that is sometimes everything. Good to have you along. Thanks for listening. Love to hear from you. Get in touch. The show is on social media. Go to the Mark and Mac Show page or the Daily Perspective page, either one. You can go to markandmacshow.com or markcongleton.com. Those are the websites. And drop me a line. Let me know where you're listening from, your thoughts, whatever. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free. Wow. It seems today that there's a segment of our society which, well, they've always been there, but it seems today that they are in the spotlight more than they've ever been before. And that's the people who seem to be perpetually offended. They're always offended by something. Back in the days when I was in Christian broadcasting, I used to see this on a regular basis. It was a daily thing. There was always somebody offended by something. Always. There was always the meetings with the boss. What did you say? Well, they said you said this. No, that's not what I said. Well, what did you... It was a joke. Well, the so-and-so was deeply offended. Really? One of the lessons you learn as you get older in life is that if you're offended, that's your fault. If you allow something to offend you, then that means you don't have a good grip on your life. If you're letting somebody rattle your cage that easily, we have deeper issues to talk about here. And for a while, I had a sign stuck in the studio that just said, "Get over it." They made me pull it down. But that was the thing. And it continues today. I've drawn the comparison a couple of times. I don't know if you recall, but there was a time, Jerry Falwell, not the current, not his son, but the founder of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell was the head of an organization called the Moral Majority at one time. And there was a campaign for morality in America, and it was like these people were the watchdogs over all things moral, and they would point out that's offensive, that crosses lines. And of course what happened was that people, it became a joke, because they were trying to police thought and they were trying to police morality in America. And let me give you a little insider information on what changes morality. What changes morality is a good example. If you see somebody living a good example, it's there. You see somebody being successful at living a better life, then deep down inside, you want to know what they know and how they're pulling that off. So the best way to change the society around you is to be a better example. And one great way to be a great example, a better example, is by not being offended. Because if you refuse to listen to somebody because their language is peppered with vulgarity, if you refuse to have a conversation with somebody who deeply needs a redirection in their life in order to avoid future problems because you don't like the fact that they use words which you find offensive, then you just need to stay home. Because you're not making an impact. So, when we have a segment of our society who feels like it's their duty to police everyone else, they're not going to be successful. All they're going to do is to be upset and to cause other small-minded, shallow, narrow, intolerant people to be upset and all sold up and angry about the world around them. And sadly, I say this to my brothers and sisters in the church, that's what you've managed to accomplish. Rather than being the example of the living Christ, you have been the example of the intolerant church. You need to remember, Jesus said, it's the sick who need the doctor. So if a doctor is going to be afraid to go in where people are sick, what kind of a doctor is he? So just keep that in mind. But it seems now that the moral majority is moved from the far right to the right, from the right side of the spectrum, over to the left. And they're constantly policing everything we say and do. Well, that's hate speech. Really? Did you know that hate speech is constitutionally protected according to the Supreme Court? Yep, it is. It may make you uncomfortable, but it's not illegal. So if you're going to be offended by it, you're going to be spending a lot of time salt up and angry over something you can't change, unless you're willing to be a good example. Well, a lot of our culture today seems to be about finding reasons to hate pop culture from even a decade or two ago. You know what, we've been watching this happen, where the past is being judged by the standards of today. And they're not really the standards of today. They're the standards of a tiny sliver of our population who is perpetually offended by everything. Now, one of the most popular and successful TV shows of all time is considered problematic for several jokes that were okay, maybe a little edgy back in the 90s. They're now offensive to American millennials. The previous victim of this new politically correct world was the show Friends. You might have seen the uproar about that, because there are a lot of jokes. The butt of the jokes in today's society, people just go, oh, you can't joke about them. Well, now Seinfeld is getting this social justice warrior treatment. In an article for Bustle just before the new year, writer Angelica Florio detailed 13 jokes from the 9-season show that were unacceptable by today's standards. This is 9 years of TV shows. They found 13 jokes that are just pearl-clutching and gasp-worthy. Number one on the list, probably the most well-known joke from the entire series, the gag that everybody thinks about when you think about the Seinfeld TV show. I'll give you a moment. What do you think that was? If I say the words no soup? Yeah, no soup for you, the soup Nazi. What might be the most well-known joke from Seinfeld is also one of its most disappointing ones. Maybe in 1995, when the episode titled The Soup Nazi aired, it felt okay for viewers. But in 2018, when groups of neo-Nazis have become noticeably emboldened, using the term Nazi to label someone as a joke just doesn't sit so well anymore. That's what Florio writes. I need to remind her that the word Nazi being used to describe people is used exclusively by the left. It's the left who's labeling people on the right as Nazis, because that is what's painting a mental image they want to paint of people who disagree with their worldview. It's not the fault of Seinfeld that the media, 20 years later, gave constant attention to a small group of radicals, gave them outsized importance. It's also not Seinfeld's fault. The media has made the term Nazi meaningless because it uses the label on anyone to the right of Nancy Pelosi. The second example on Florio's list refers to an episode that itself points out how problematic Jerry Seinfeld's character is acting. It's that episode with the cigar store Indian. Jerry, he's trying to date a woman, finds out she's Native American, and he can't stop using stupid terms that refer to her heritage, like Indian giver. The episode itself points out how terrible Jerry is for doing this. That's the whole joke. It's how bad he is for using these insensitive terms. But they're offended by that. And that's how insane this whole thing is on the left about judging everyone by this set of standards that's unrealistic. Fortunately, the more they do this, the more they're turning people off. And for you and me, that's a good thing, because it becomes more and more obvious that they're not seeing the world as it really is. They're living in a fantasy and trying to make us all conform to their delusion. But you and I know better, don't we? Sure we do. Hey, time to run. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.